Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for listening. Welcome. Happy holiday season. Happy cloudy days and windy and all that neat stuff. Hey, since you didn't bring any announcements today, I wondered if I could do it.
Sure, you can.
Okay, here we go. There's lots of cool stuff going on in the community all over the place, and it's really kind of a cool time to go out and be a part of it all. So be nice to your neighbors and give to everyone and engage. How's that? Is that good? Or?
It's okay.
Ooh. Okay, community calendar needs work. Welcome. This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness in Imperial Valley. 337-8874 is the phone number.
It's the most wonderful time.
Podcast available at kxoradio.com. You know, tattoo that one and
yes.
Share. And, you know, so, hey, and this is topical stuff, man. So, if it sounds good today, make sure and get it to your friends and family in the next week or so, because after that, we'll be done with the holiday and it won't matter as much.
Mm-hmm.
No, because stress is always here. Holidays just seem to be a time when it pops up. We have a guest today. Her name is Helen McLean. She's a licensed clinical social worker. Woo.
Woo.
Woo. That works in both private practice, and she works for Imperial County. She's been doing the Imperial County thing now for, 10-ish?
About 7-ish. Seven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Morning.
Good morning.
Well, today we're going to be talking about stress, holiday stress, correct?
Yes, correct.
And there is stress. I'm already stressing. I wake up in the morning, I go, what else do I need to get?
Exactly. I think everybody's asking themselves that as the days count down for Christmas.
Yes, and I need to get those Christmas cards out. I'm trying. I'm stressing out over that.
But the answer is just more caffeine, right? I mean, we've got this one figured out.
No.
Starbucks told me.
I don't drink caffeine. Oh, yeah. But how can our listeners deal with the stress? Or
is it a problem, or is it just
problem,
maybe is it
just,
good, just good for just us to get all chasing our tails for a couple weeks every year or something?
To make sure everything gets done.
I know. Well, I think, you know, this holiday stress comes every year. The holiday season, you know, it starts at Thanksgiving. And it goes all the way until after Christmas, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, basically. So we have about, 38 days of extra stress time for us. And we all jump in and we do it every year. Mm-hmm. Even though most of us know better, we still engage in this stressful time of year. And we just need to take better care of ourselves and be a little more realistic of what we can and can't do. For example, every year since I've owned
my house.
Take
the pencils out, people.
I've had, you know, all these holiday parties and get-togethers at my home, starting with Thanksgiving. Well, this was my first year that I said, you know what, I'm not going to do Thanksgiving at my house. And I didn't know how wonderful it was.
How much work that is.
Well, yes, I didn't know. I just had the best time because I didn't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only a select few who do that, right? Most of us are engaged in doing and going above and beyond what typically we should do.
That's true. There's also the other trying to get things done, trying to buy those presents, Christmas presents, but also, you know, there's the financial stress.
Yes.
You know, that we don't want to, we might not give presents to our siblings, but, you know, or to other relatives, and might cut down and just, we have to get something for the children. You know, and I've heard that, well, you know, this year there's not much money, but at least my kids need to have something for Christmas.
Honey, let's buy the PlayStation 6
for the
children's
sake. But it might be that, something, a big item, and it puts, you know, financial stress. Maybe not right now, but then when the bill comes in.
56-inch LCD TV screen for World of Warcraft for the children's sake.
Or the new new phone or new smartphone or, right, Madhu?
And it is stressful for parents. Kids are asking for those items, And parents want to do what they can for their kids, but sometimes they can't do it, so they do go into debt.
And you feel this dissonance. You feel this self-judgment mm-hmm. stuff starts coming
yes.
in.
Yes.
And, it adds kind of another layer, I guess, to, just the regular hassles and everything else, and now you've got this financial pressure.
Exactly. I mean, if you're already struggling financially, which a lot of people are, and then here comes this holiday season, so there's the pressure to get out there and spend the money you don't have. So you don't want your kids to have a good Christmas, but you have to balance that.
Are there ways to derail some of this stuff before it even starts? I mean, is it worth it to try and deconsumerize your kids? Or do you just kind of have to accept that your kids are going to have these great big, tech-savvy eyes and just say, hey, look, something else happened today, and I want it. How do you do that? I mean, is that kind of a choice point as a parent or no?
I think it is a personal choice for a parent, and it's a big one if a parent decides to go that route because there's so much pressure out there. Christmas, unfortunately, is very commercialized.
Well, your kids aren't going to be cool if they don't get the toys.
That's right.
Ooh,
or the
ouch.
Shoes or the this or yeah. that. What do you do? What do the kids do when they go back to school? They share what did they get for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on their age, you can talk to them about what's going on. I have a family I'm working with right now where they've been pretty stable, but dad just lost their job. And they're really struggling at what are they going to do about Christmas. And I'm thinking, what are you going to do after Christmas? What are you going to do next month? I mean, but they're because they have their child who wants those big items, they're very worried and concerned about what are they going to do about Christmas.
It's interesting that with this whole kind of economic global meltdown, whatever the thing was that we started a few years ago and are kind of still lingering in, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that we didn't shed more of our kind of collective attachment to toys that we could have. I mean, it could have been like a real choice point where consumers could have went, well, maybe I'm tired of being run around this trap here, and I'm just going to hop off the wagon here and, do some other things with my time in life. But it seems that hasn't happened that much. It seems that, sales are starting to rebound, and people, as you suggest, people are willing to subject themselves to a lot of stress to come up with this kind of idealized consumer version of Christmas, which it strikes me as interesting that it kind of had some evidence that maybe that wasn't, the easiest or I don't know, healthiest perhaps way of dealing with Christmas in this whole, my home is being foreclosed, but I got some nice toys for Christmas.
I was at a big box store.
That's good. It took us 6 years to figure out not to name people.
I know.
Give them free props.
And I was just trying to get the pictures, just pictures. And people were lining up and trying to, buy those video cameras. And, the salesperson's trying to sell them the extension warranty.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, it was like going to be $30 more or something. And, I was looking at them and I go, I try to, try to help out people, but sometimes it's not my, it's not my point. And I'm like, what for me is because of the way the economy is, and, you want to help people, try and give them advice. And if you can't afford it, don't buy it. But then here comes the other thing, the stress, the kids, they need to have, the day that after Christmas when school goes back, what did you get for Christmas? Here you are, you're trying to make, good financial decisions and trying to do good, but then there's the other part. Kids want something for Christmas. How do you, here's reality.
Right.
I have no money in my checking account, but, I can use my credit card.
Well, there's some people.
It has 27% interest.
Right. And there's some people who don't have a credit card.
They
cannot do it. I mean, there's families that are homeless. There's families that are not going to have a Christmas, basically. Luckily, there are programs out there that do help in that area. But sometimes people don't know how to access those.
Mm.
So, being in that situation, it is very stressful. But people have to try to be a little more realistic. And also those type of people who are struggling, reaching out to others and trying to get help in this at this time, that can help with their stress as well. I mean, if your child's not going to get anything, there's programs out there like Volunteers of America, they do the toy drive.
Department of Social Services has had one.
There's a lot of schools doing them as well. Mm-hmm. You can talk to your schools and let them know that if they're not going to get anything. I mean, they're not going to get big presents, but they're going to get some nice little things. And I had a client last year, and that's basically all she got. And she was happy. She had a nice little Christmas. We helped them get some food. They were able to get some presents for some of the kids. But what the family did to try to help reduce the stress was talk to the kids, and they made sure that what they were doing that day was fun with the family.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't so much about what they were getting. They made sure that the time they were spending together was fun. I mean, kids can get all kinds of toys and all kinds of goodies, but sometimes there's nobody there to play with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they just made sure that were able to have a great time for Christmas rather than worry so much about what they were getting.
I know, you know, growing up and having to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special every year because we only had like two channels and that was one of them. And you know, but
same year.
But so every I guess growing up every year for Christmas, I got a pretty consistent message that it was the little bent over tree that was special. It was really more about the spirit of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It was more about the spirit of kind of recognizing humanity and being happy to be a part of it and, you know, sharing that with your neighbor that, you know, made the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's always an option. And
right.
whether, even if you have the means to, you know, do the, you know, full-scale, wide-open Christmas, you could always go back to that and establish that as the reason for the day. And that might, in itself, that might be just kind of a way to kind of, you know, back off from some of the production value of staging the perfect, you know.
So how are you going to do that? I mean, you turn off the TV and turn off the internet.
Well,
and
you won't see the Charlie Brown Christmas special when you turn off the TV.
You know, but it's just, you know, constantly, you know, just the unless you're watching, not as much, but there's some channels that don't show as much commercials, but it's just constant commercials of products. And
I DVR'd all the Nutcracker suites.
The new phone, the new station, the new, you know, the new video game, the new system. Let's see what else. Just constant.
I don't know. What do you do?
Get a bombarding.
Helen, do you, is this, how do you, you've got daughters, you've got children that are savvy. How do you manage their, you know, their needs versus the day in a way? I'm sure that stress management's part of your life.
Yes, it's, you know, like I said, being realistic and knowing that there's limits. You know, we're not going to go out there and buy everything, but we try to have a nice Christmas. I think one thing that families can do when they are doing well is think of others. And we've, in the past, got together groups of kids who are in sports or who are in groups and got together like a toy drive and had the kids take the toys to the families. So you can teach your kids a lot in that area. If you are doing well and they are going to have a nice Christmas, they can help others try to have a nice Christmas as well.
I know one of the things that now is one of my kind of lamer holiday traditions is, see, I wanted to really learn how to make tamales because that was like my goal in life was to tackle that one, right? And so, you know, it took me a couple of years and it turned out really kind of dry one year and the other year was way too spicy. But eventually I got to the point where I can make really, really good tamales. And so, you know, you make tamales and you make a gazillion because it just lends itself towards mass production. And the problem is everybody else.
Go over to my house and
I know.
Make them.
I don't believe that they did. So, I know.
So the problem in my family, my extended family, is that everybody else is making them too.
The Mexican side, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. And so the net result was that I ended up with this house full of tamales and nobody was really hungry for them. Not, you know, not that they weren't fine tamales, but that we just had this surplus. And my wife and daughter, you know, don't really like tamales. And so, you know, I'm faced with having to, you know, several hundred tamales in the house. Well, anyhow, so the short, long story short is like 3 years ago, my daughter and I basically loaded up the car with tamales and drove around looking for homeless people. And so now what we do is we make the tamales and then we spend, you know, the next few nights until they're dispersed going around town finding groups of homeless people and just dropping off big bags of fresh, hot, steaming tamales and saying, hey, dinner time, hungry? And that's been a nice little tradition for us. And I think it was it's a chance to, and my daughter, I don't think, realized that there are quite a few homeless people in El Centro until we started going, well, let's look over by this store, or let's look over in this area, or let's look over here. And we started, you know, finding the encampments. And anyhow, that's our kind of little holiday thing now.
Your tradition.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You can come by my house.
I think that's a nice tradition. You know, it gets your daughter to see that beyond herself. And that's a great gift in itself.
Oh, yeah. And for whatever reason, I seem to have dodged the bullet. I don't have a very consumer-hungry child. And she doesn't really want too many toys. And nothing, like, over the top. Like, over, you know, $15. Which is cool. And you know, I'm, like, more than happy to get her what she wants because it's all relatively inexpensive stuff. And she does little psychodramas with it. And everything's fine.
But what do we do? What do we do if we have a family or one of our listeners out there that is stressing out? What can they do to de-stress? You know, it's how many days to Christmas now?
Ooh, see, I'm so bad, I don't even know. It's like 10-ish or so. 9.
What's today? Yeah. 10.
16, so there's like 9.
9, yeah. There's only 9 days. 9 days to Christmas.
Did everybody just get a little bit more nervous out there?
Exactly. You know, well, that's
no,
that's the reason.
What will happen is you'll start getting lists of things. They'll start bouncing. Oh, 9 days. Oh, I need to start doing. Oh, what about? Oh, did I do? You know, and that's kind of a sign. First, I guess one person's stress is another person's, hey, this is really fun. I'm having a great time.
Right.
How do you know if you're stressed? Are there some tips that we could start with that just say kind of how to check yourself and figure out if you are stressed?
Yeah, if you're starting to yell at everybody.
That's a sign right there. If you find that you're irritable, you feel angry, you're having trouble sleeping, that's a big sign of stress. If you're constantly worrying, if you find yourself that you're rushing everywhere, you can't get everything done, and you're supposed to be having fun, like Scott said, it's supposed to be a time of fun, and if you find that you're doing more worrying, more yelling, then you're probably stressed. And you need to reevaluate what you're doing.
I see that at these stores right now or at the mall, just people walking really fast or the shopping carts, you know, they become a weapon. Yes, they do. They become a weapon, and you're like, okay. So instead of going and buying a gallon of milk at the local grocery store, I'd rather just go to, you know, a gas station really fast, pay probably the double of it, but not
right.
Avoid all those crowds.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, what's worse than going into a big box store? Going into a big box store and waiting in line for a half an hour.
To buy one thing.
Yeah.
Right, and I think Scott hit the nail on the head when he said that people are thinking, you know, there's 9 days left of Christmas, what do I need to do? Well, sometimes we do it to ourselves.
Sounded a little
imperative,
didn't it?
Yeah. We think we need to do all of these things, and we don't always need to do that.
Yeah.
Bring the stress upon ourselves.
I want to do the Christmas cards. I want to, but it just, you know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Well, we're going to take a short break right now, top of the hour, and give you about, I don't know, a minute, 30 seconds to do some Christmas stuff, but then come right back, and we're going to talk a little bit about how to manage this going through the holiday season, and take your phone calls if you want to call us. All right, this is Let's Talk About It. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County's Behavioral Health Service, Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. You are still listening to Let's Talk About It, your wellness radio. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone lines are open. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And also, for this, if you missed our first half, you can access this through our podcast at kxoradio.com.
Yes.
Or other past podcasts.
Cruise director Mario Espinoza has launched the good ship. Let's Talk About It for its second half hour of show. Hey, we're back with Helen McLean, and she's a licensed clinical social worker, got a private practice over at Sunshine on Ross Avenue. And is that what it's called, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just look that up and go there.
It's S-O-N.
Yes.
Sunshine.
And she also works for Behavioral Health, licensed clinical. How's that? Is that cool or what? Being licensed now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It took a long time to get there, so it's nice.
How many years?
Oh, let's see. Eight?
Mm-hmm. So, yes, it must be really good.
Well, really nice.
It's like a really long swim to an island, but now that you're up on the island, you're up there. You know, nobody takes you off the island.
Right. Not yet, anyways.
Just pay your yearly bill and behave and
right.
do your job.
I just paid that yearly bill, and you also have to take
CEUs
more classes. Mm-hmm. So I took 18 CEUs and just renewed it, so I'm good for 2 years.
Good.
Wow. So that was nice to get that renewal done. That was a nice Christmas present.
There's a stress reliever right
yes.
there.
Yes, yes.
Got this stuff all out of the way.
Yes. Nice. That was really nice.
So let's kind of go back, and we're talking the topic on the table is stress, and we kind of talked about some of the ways right before break that people might recognize that they're not thriving in whatever environment they've helped to create for themselves, and I remember you mentioned anger, irritability, sleeplessness,
worry,
lists of stuff to do. Some of this is, could I just file that stuff under, geez, I'm really busy right now, and not call it stress? Would I be lying to myself? Or?
Well, you know, any time we go, beyond what we're typically used to, that is stress. You know, so I think it is stress. We just need to manage it.
Oh, so stress may be tolerable within certain limits, but there may be, at some point, it begins to backfire or begins to cause more problems than.
Yes.
That you might not. True. Yeah, you might not show it outward, at work or with your family.
Or you might.
But then, at night, like Helen said, you might not be able to go to sleep because that's when you start thinking.
How many sleepless nights before the gears start slipping, huh? I mean, personally, I'm about two. I can generally make it like one sleepless night, mm-hmm. and the next day I may be a little bit tired, but I can still function. A couple sleepless nights, and I can already tell that just the decision-making isn't as clear, the understanding of things that I have to figure out is not as fast, et cetera, et cetera. Less tolerant.
Yes, less tolerant.
Yeah, I think that's a major.
But, that's a good one to listen to, because if you're here trying to make this perfect holiday, which there is no perfect holiday, but you're
what
striving
do you mean?
For that.
I'm just
for Leah, there's no perfect holiday. But Maria was saying, she's running around trying to get things done. And we have to realize that there is no perfect holiday, but if you're constantly stressing yourself out during this time to make that happen, you're going to find yourself worrying and running around and
Not enjoying it,
and you're supposed to be enjoying it.
It's like you had this year, you didn't make dinner for Thanksgiving, and you enjoyed it.
Yes, I learned it.
That's going to become the new tradition.
That's going to be the new tradition, but I guess one of the things that I learned and what helps with stress is learning to say no. And a lot of times you want to say yes, particularly during the holiday season. And if we can figure out if what we've done in the past, if it didn't work for us, let's try something new. And just that can get you in a different place and reduce that stress.
But saying no is sometimes hard.
It is hard. I mean, saying no to your kids, or saying no to your family. But you have to do what's best for you. And if you're all stressed out, you're not going to be good for anybody. So.
Like, you could just be the Grinch and say no to holiday fun.
No.
You don't
want
to do that.
Yeah, exactly. No.
We want to
have
fun.
I said no. God.
337-8874 is the phone number. Call us and give us your best holiday stress stories. It's funny because we all have stuff that we can draw from in terms of how this. One of the things that occurs to me is there's this degree of feeling of responsibility for the quality of the holiday experience. I don't know if anybody else gets that, but I certainly can get caught up in thinking that, the quality of my daughter's Christmas, the joy of her experience or whatever, somehow I need to set that up and make it work. Or even that I'm obligated at a certain level to do that for my wife, that, I want her to have a really special experience. And then I guess that sense of obligation begins to end up perhaps fueling a little bit of stress.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we don't want, we tell our family we don't want anything for ourselves, but...
Well, and being responsible for other people's happiness is an odd place to be. Typically not tied to successful outcomes.
Right, because you can't control how other people end up feeling.
Yeah.
But there's things that you can do, you know, like we were talking about, coming up with new traditions. Not so much around what are we getting. It can be more of like, what are we doing? So, for example, this holiday season, we'll be inviting my family over. But to cook, we're all going to cook together. So I like that idea because it's not just me cooking. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to come over and we're going to all cook together. So that's going to reduce my stress.
Yeah,
so I found a stress buster there.
As long as you can give up, you know, ultimate control of the cooking process, that'll, you know.
I don't even need that.
Good, yeah, you're already in a good place.
Yes.
One thing that I've learned is to avoid, like, for Thanksgiving, to avoid going, getting everything done and avoiding going to the grocery store the day before.
Yes, planning ahead can really help with
planning,
stress. Yes,
the same thing with Christmas, you know, the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
oh,
you know,
don't go.
You know, I don't go to anywhere. Nothing. I think what day is that? Are we working?
No, we're not working.
No, we're not. We're not
it's
working.
Friday,
on that. It's a Friday. Yeah, it's a Friday, so we're not working. But, you know, that gives for people who are not working, it's like, okay, then I can do last-minute things. I don't do that. I just, oh, well, you know.
It is what it is. But planning ahead definitely is a good stress buster.
You know, set up your, everybody said, you know, make your list, set your own budget, you know, how much you're going to spend for that person, and that's it.
Yeah, stick to the budget.
Stick to the budget and make a list, and that's it. You know, sometimes the list gets smaller as years go by, or just maybe you might add other people, but just have a list, having a list, and once you have that list, don't add any more, or... You might scratch people up, but not.
Right.
And just sticking to your budget.
I'm explaining to my 3-year-old nephew that the list was formed before he came around, and he's not eligible. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You know that. No, the list can.
He's old enough now. I can tell him that.
You
right?
make a list, a new Three. List every year. Okay.
You see, we manage our stress, nephew. And one of the ways we do that is by not expanding our Christmas list beyond our budgetary constraints. And sad to say, we
you're not in it.
Figured that out right before you came around. So, but I'm sure other people are going to give you very nice presents. So, holiday spirit.
Don't be a Grinch.
No, I'm not. I'm kind of backdooring into another possible stress reliever, and that is just humor, just letting it go, just relaxing, making fun of your own intensity sometimes, and you know, taking things with a dose of humor sometimes can help relieve, you know, when you find yourself being like really perfectionistic or setting really, really high expectations and then driving yourself unmercilessly towards achieving them, or you know, whatever that thing is that's just kind of keeping you up at night, or you know, adding to your level of intensity or whatever, you know, and just when you catch it, laugh at it, make fun of it. You know, when everybody's in your kitchen, Helen, cooking, and they use the wrong measuring cup. You know, there's one for dry stuff and there's one for wet stuff, and thou shalt not cross over. And
I just used one.
Oh,
me too.
Ooh.
Oh, that's Scott there.
Yeah, or any other similar example. You know, there may be a certain dishwashing procedure in your house, for example, and if you've got everybody helping with the dishwashing, they're not going to follow the procedure.
That's true.
Right. You know, it's being flexible.
Oh, yeah, and you know, catching yourself, like, oh, yeah, that's just my perfectionistic stuff going on, not necessarily, you know, the one way to do things forever in life.
Right, definitely. That would be something that would cause more stress, being perfectionist or wanting things done your way. But during the holidays, people are going to be at your home, and you are going to be out there visiting people, or, you know, we have the holiday parties, and so you have to be a little more flexible and be open to the way other people do things.
Well, and I think conversely, the more stuff you put on your plate, the less flexible typically you are, because it's like, oh, it's got to be this way because I've got so much to do.
It's that looking for that perfect holiday once again.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if you're constantly seeking that perfect holiday, you're not going to be flexible.
You know, we've been talking about with stress, and mostly kind of like adults. What about kids? Do kids go through stress during these holidays?
I think they do, especially if they're in a family that is divorced. I've seen a lot of the kids that I'm working with, they struggle with that they're going to be at dad's house during Christmas Day, and then they're not going to be with mom this year. And then,
cause nobody gets along in my family. We've got eight Christmases.
But it's hard on both the parents and the kids when their parents are separated, and they're going to spend, you know, one of the, let's say, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day falls on dad's week, and that's where they'll be.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe mom gets some New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So when you have that split custody, that's where I see some of the kids stressing.
So what can parents do, you know, just to prepare them, okay, you know, already ahead of time, you're going to be spending Christmas with dad this year.
And I'm not holding it against him.
That's where you start right there.
Okay.
And it's cool. It's just the way the calendar works out, right?
Right. It's being a good, you know, role model for your child and showing them that you can cooperate and communicate with their father or their mother so that the child can focus on having a good time during this holiday season. But unfortunately, we don't always see that.
No, I remember I came from a blended family, and I can remember once suggesting we alter a birthday by a couple of days to facilitate the celebration, and people looked at me like I was nuts. And I'm like, no, seriously, just move it 2 days, and everybody's happy, and we'll just pretend it's the same day. You know, who's going to know? And no, it was difficult.
I'm not surprised that came from me.
Well, you know, it's just facilitate sometimes is making something easier so that people enjoy it. It makes a little bit of sense. Anyhow, but yeah, the whole blended family thing can be very interesting. And for kids, it can be a boon, though, because, again, if you've got lots of different places to go for Christmas, you've got lots of different Christmases. Sometimes the people will actually compete against each other to make you happier, and so you'll get, like, big gifts from everyone because, you know, oh, dad's my really special person. Look, he gave me this. And then mom's like, oh, you want to see something? Bam, I give you this. And so it is a little stressful, and it can be stressful, and it certainly could be stressful economically because once you break up families, you lose wage earners and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And competing for your child's attention with bigger gifts probably isn't the longest, best long-term strategy for raising happy, healthy kids. But you know, it can be okay for kids, too. I don't feel like my Christmases were compromised by my blended family-ness.
Good. But what else, besides planning, you know, what else? How should people going through stress just manage it? Just besides planning, you know, taking deep breaths or relaxation,
Well, those are all good things that we don't typically do. I mean, really, if you're rushing around to hit Walmart or to hit the big box stores,
you forget to breathe.
Yeah, you forget to breathe. You do, and you forget.
So, in other words, you're in the parking lot, right there in your car.
No, you're trying to run to get that last cart.
You know where I like seriously waiting in line is a good spot for me, because when you're waiting in line, you know. People aren't going to ram you with shopping carts typically. Well, sometimes.
Yeah, kind of cross over.
So it's a good time to kind of stop and catch yourself and just go, here I am. I'm alive. Stop. No, I don't have to do lists for a couple minutes. Take a little time out.
And we do need to take a time out for ourselves in the midst of all of this, especially as the countdown gets, you know, smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are stressed typically don't do that for themselves. They'll just keep going and going and going, and they're not taking time out for themselves. But a good 15-minute time for yourself.
Well, and you're stuck in line at in box store.
And
you're not going anywhere. You know, you're limited to the speed of the line, period. So
what I do when I'm in that situation, I get the magazines right there.
That's a form of time out, I would say.
That's the only time, you know, I have time to do that, so...
Make the best of it.
Yeah, I get, you know, I like, oh, well, you know, since I see everybody's had, there's a huge line, then I go, okay, then I just go around and get a magazine and get to the back of the line and just flip to it. And time goes by so fast. And I'm like, oh, shoot.
And you're not worrying about things you can't control, and you're not, you know, ruminating, you know, chewing stuff in your head over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Got to do this, got to do that, you know. So yeah, there's your little timeout right there.
That's good.
I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that I was doing that. But yeah.
Are there other ways that we can kind of proactively manage this holiday experience, understanding that you know, it's just part and parcel. There's probably going to be a certain activity level associated with it. What about like diet or exercise?
Well, don't abandon your typical healthy ways of being. You know, let's say,
assuming I have typical healthy ways of being. That's a leap.
Okay, if you do have them, don't abandon them. And don't overindulge. Try not to. It's hard. You know, everybody's cooking and baking and everything. But don't. If you do go to the 8 Christmases that you were talking about, don't eat a full-blown meal.
But it's polite.
You can nibble.
There's the Spanish concept of despreciando comida, mm-hmm. you know, it's, saying no to food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tricky one to say no to. Huh?
Oh, if the tamales are good, I will say no.
Wait, I've come up with a thought that fits the situation. You see, in wintertime, you need to eat more caloric-rich foods to get through the colder environment. It's kind of a human safety thing that's built into our
genes. That's when we didn't have, like, you know, warm clothes and heater, central heating.
Great. Well, now that's what everybody's going to tell themselves.
Exactly.
I'll have another
cookie.
Scott said it was fine.
Oh, no, there may be, you know, so our eating habits may partially be determined by stuff like that, you know, so who knows. It's a good excuse to have one more cookie.
Right.
But not 6 more cookies.
If we overindulge ourselves, right, which, Maria was talking about when you go to the store and you overindulge, and then if we go ahead and we overindulge in food, then what's going to come next? Guilt.
Yes.
And that's
Or even stuff like your metabolism's not going to work very good, or you're not going to feel mm-hmm. very good, or you're not going to sleep very well, you know, that stuff.
Right.
So avoid overindulgence. Exercise? Right. Exercise is good for stress?
Exercise is great for stress.
If you haven't exercised, it's probably a bad time to add an exercise program, huh?
You can start walking.
We're pretty busy right now.
Well, you can walk from store to store.
Yeah. Yeah, at the mall. Right there, they have a little thing,
It's difficult to walk at the mall right now because there's so many people, and they're all kind of aimlessly milling at this point. And it's like bumper cars or something. So the whole walking at the mall thing's kind of postponed, I think, until after.
I don't think I have to go to the mall.
Back to Christmas sales.
I think I'm done.
That's great.
I'm done.
Are you done, Scott?
I have to go get food, but you can't, you know.
Shopping?
Yeah, right.
And no, I have some more things I need to make for people. I typically tend to just make people stuff.
Yes, he makes stuff. He makes really nice.
That's right. He makes
bracelets.
Yes, he makes
bracelets. I do rocks. I do stuff. But yeah, the stuff that I bought online. I didn't go shopping.
You know, you can make tamales and then wrap them up in paper like that, and you know, with a bow and the turban.
Yes, absolutely.
And you can do that.
We wouldn't mind that gift, right, Maria?
No, I wouldn't.
And that's one of my ways of coping with this. Is and it serves two levels. It serves. When I make something for somebody, it's like I actually spend that time liking them or feeling good about them, you know, or feeling some sort of sense of I'm giving you a little piece of my life through my hands or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, it may not matter to them when they get the gift, but to me it matters. The process of doing that helps me to remember why I'm here and what's important to me. So it's kind of a selfish thing, but it helps me to remember that, you know, my people and my relationships are really important to me. And it helps me to value them a little bit more than just buying them something, even mm-hmm. if buying them something may make them happier.
But but then again, there's other people that have no talent making stuff.
Well, I'm not too talented. Trust me
on
that.
So, you know, or have the time to do it. So sometimes we have to, you know, the last thing is to buy stuff. Because, you know, we don't have the talent, we don't have the time.
Yeah, well, no, it's not everyone's cup of tea, obviously, and that's fine. And I, you know, I like getting stuff that people bought for me, too, so I get both sides of it, I think. But it's another way to help manage the event, the whole holiday season, in ways that bring it back and make it meaningful for you. And I think maybe everybody finding those ways and you know, planning them out and doing them in some sort of gentle way that doesn't, you know, amp it up too high. Unless mm-hmm. unless an amped up Christmas experience is what you like,
then you're totally fine.
Yeah, go for it.
You know, it is true. If all these things we're talking about, planning it out, sticking to a budget, taking time for yourself, but they're all ideal. You know, not everybody. Okay, most everybody I know doesn't do this. That's why we're all stressed. So we just need to recognize it. Recognize your own signs. Know yourself. If you typically don't sleep and you do get excited during Christmas and you're not sleeping, but you typically, you know, don't need that much sleep, you're fine. If you get a, I know some people very special in my life who get a little buzz off of those Black Fridays and those running around the mall and getting excited to get those sales. They love it.
It's like surfing a big wave.
Right.
I know.
They love it. So that's great for them. But for somebody else who is more sensitive, who gets stressed out easily, you need to know that about yourself and then follow the tips that we're giving. So yeah. For others, if you're fine, like me, I'll ramble through it. I'll get through it. I'll be okay. I'll have fun at some points, and other points I'll be a little more stressed. But the holiday season doesn't stress me out. But I'm learning new tricks. The one I like the best is learning to say no.
That's a good one. Or for me, like the Black Friday, I can't do that. I can't
there.
I cannot be there. I just find other people that will do it. And so I just give them my list.
Oh, that's very smart.
That's nice.
I know.
Yeah.
They do the running around for me.
So you find the people who like doing that stuff and say, hey, well, you're having so much fun doing it. Here's like another 20 things I'd like you to get if you've got time.
I know. It works. So I stay at home, asleep in my bed, all nice and warm.
See, she found a strategy that works for her. We all have to find the strategy that works for us.
I got one. I'll throw one out. How about a little self-forgiveness? Because, as you suggest, there really is a lot going on, and sometimes we do take on a little bit more than might be good for us, and sometimes that extra cookie really does look good. Or maybe I spent a little bit too much money getting a little extra nice toy this year because it was cool. So now I've got a choice after I've done that. I can either, you know, I could start beating myself up.
Right.
I could start, ooh, why did I do, oh, I promised myself this year I wouldn't do it.
Overspend. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, but maybe a little self-forgiveness is in order, too, because you can take a problem and solve a problem, or you could take a problem and make it a bigger problem.
Right. That's correct.
And in times when you're, you know, if stress management is the focus of what you're doing, then probably beating yourself up over stuff that you could have done better in retrospect may not be the best strategy either.
That can definitely cause a lot of stress. The holiday season's going to pass, and then everybody's going to look back at their wallets and then their tummies and realize all this stuff that they did, all this overindulgence.
Wallet empty, tummy big.
Tummy full. Exactly. So, yes, beating yourself up would definitely take you down the road of stress. And forgiving yourself is a good stress technique. Saying, you know what, I did it, it's over, you know, we had fun. And now I'll just, you know, calm down for the next couple of months and get back on track.
Does holiday stress cross over and become a mental health problem? Is this something that there's like a space where, you know, it's you're not just running yourself through the holiday ringer, you actually maybe need some additional levels of support?
I think if it goes beyond 2 weeks, you know, if let's say after the holiday season's over and it's still there and you're still going through it, then you need to reach out and get some help for yourself. Let's say you're rushing around, you know, you've gone to all these sales and you're hyped up, and then it's over, and you still find yourself that you're worrying, you're stressed, you can't sleep, you still feel angry, then you need to look into finding some help for yourself.
Hmm. Yeah,
2 weeks is a good rule.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we'll all check in with all of our friends and stuff after a couple
in
weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. And live this day. I know you open,
so
you knock at the
you
door.
Doing?
I know you open. Knock on the door.
Are you still angry?
No. Or you call them on the phone, what? What's this?
Ooh. Well, there's nothing like, you know, when you're, I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure you have gotten together with your family. Everybody's at your home. And here you were, you worked really hard for this perfect holiday. And what do you know? It's not perfect. People are angry. People are in a bad mood.
Somebody's sick.
Oh, no, they can't say that at my house.
Oh, no? What do you do?
Let's just say that maybe they won't come back. No, just okay. No.
There's rules about that.
No, no, no.
You must be happy.
You know what I do is just, I don't, like for Thanksgiving, I don't stress out. The big thing is the turkey, you know, and I know I'm not a very good person to make the turkey, so I'm stressed out. I have my husband do that for me, and he makes awesome turkey. So, you know, if the turkey goes bad, then everything else, you know, just, that's the whole point. So I, one reason for me not to stress out is I don't make it. You know, that's not my forte. So I don't try to do something that I can't do. You know, I just, you know what, I know my limitations. That's like.
Now that I'm getting older, I make an awesome turkey too. I've got this like loose flap of skin like right here next to my neck, and I make this gobbling noise when I snore.
No, and then the same with for Christmas. My mom's coming over, and she's going to make the tamales, you know. I'll help out, but. You know, she's
okay, so
the one.
What's your job?
Helping out, you know, preparing or something, you know, putting the masa on the leaves.
I'll be the one standing there looking cheerful. Okay, I'll do that job.
So I don't have to stress over those
little
things.
That's good. So you have a good plan.
I have a good plan, and I know I'm not, you know, I'm not going to, it would be nice to do the tamales, but I probably would stress out, are they coming out okay? You know, are they going to be good? Are they going to be dry? You know, it's just. So instead of doing that, I just don't do them.
Typically, my sister does them, and I guess she did some stress busting and decided that we should have a tamale party.
Yeah.
And so I took this time to say, you know what, I think my children need to learn how to make tamales. And so they'll be there with my sister, and I'll just be supervising.
I'm hearing delegation is the key to this.
Delegation. Well, we'll be just, you know, I'll be helping out my mom. You know, just, she'll be doing it.
And so in the end, we'll all have tamales, but it won't fall on my sister. So that's nice, because typically she was the one who was
stressing
not
out.
Saying no, right, taking on all of the responsibility of making these tamales. And, you know, by the time we had our holiday party at the end of the night, she was exhausted.
Yeah.
So that didn't work out well for her. It worked out great for me when I was eating my tamales, but not for her. So she got smarter. You know, she got more creative in how to deal with her stress.
And
so to share the responsibility.
Yeah, which may actually eliminate the stress. Yeah.
Right, and it'll make it fun. I think it's going to make it fun.
Not like it shares the stress. It just may be gone.
Mm-hmm. Make a fun activity out of it, a new tradition.
With the kids also.
Right.
Especially, you know, I'm just also thinking about my daughter. She's 4 years old. She probably would love to play with a masa and just
squish
put it,
masa.
You know, just put it on the leaf.
Fingers
right.
bleed, yeah. Hey, that masa, you know, they give the masa squishing job to the person that doesn't know anything and that isn't really the top of the pecking order. Well, you just go over there and just, you've got strong hands. They did this to me for like 5 years. Okay. 6 hours I'm squishing masa and everybody,
you know,
else is like
they already
kicking
make
back
it.
And enjoying the day.
There's some that's already prepared and everything.
Yeah,
you don't
no,
have
no,
to
the whole key is the squishing. It's like the grapes, and you know, it's really the key to the whole process. Look, this is it for us, because we, you know, let's talk about it's going to do something the next 2 weeks, but we ain't going to be on the air and it ain't going to be us. And so, Helen, thanks for coming aboard today.
Thanks for having
Appreciate
me.
Your time. It's nice to see you always. And listeners and everyone else, you know,
yes.
Thank you all for the year and spending time with us, and we appreciate that, and wish
yes.
you all the best for
Have
the holiday.
Have a safe, happy holiday.
Yes.
Because we have our listeners out there that, you know, they have Hanukkah and they have, you know, Christmas, and some of them
and
don't.
And some have
yeah,
nothing,
yeah.
and that's cool,
but
too.
But that's
and
okay.
Do that safely.
But it's always, you have to remember, you know, people first, then things.
Okay, that sounds good. So just let's talk about it. Have a great season, and we'll see you in January.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.